Hello, and thank you for joining us for this global ag investing news story. Today, in this 15 Minutes with Profile, we are speaking with Mark Barber, Head of Agribusiness Investment for Elders of Australia, and Tom Russo, General Manager for Real Estate for Elders. The pair are marketing a portfolio of 7 cattle stations in northern Australia, which includes a feedlot location near Katherine. It was just announced that Elders was selected by property owner Hancock Agriculture, which is the second largest producer of beef in Australia, to sell these beef production assets. GAI News sat down with Mark and Tom to get all the details. Thank you, Mark and Tom, for joining us.
First of all, for Tom, what are the prospects for the Australian beef industry?
Sure. Well, I mean, our beef industry can be said to be going through a golden age at the moment. We're certainly going through a nice cycle where we're seeing record commodity prices for our beef, both domestically and for international markets. And it's really being fueled by global megatrends in terms of demands, which I'll talk a little bit more about later, but also a restocker market, which is hot, where people are seeking to grow our national herd following a period of drought in some regions around Australia. So the combination of a high demand in terms of restocker cattle from domestic producers, together with the ongoing growth in global demand for the end product, is really creating a demand like we've never seen before, and accordingly prices have gone through the roof. So I guess you could say that's the short-term outlook or situation for the industry. In terms of outlook, our industry is very much geared towards global export markets. So our herd sits at around 24, 25 million head of cattle, and approximately 70% of our production is actually exported into over 100 countries around the world. And that places Australia as the second largest beef exporter globally. In terms of future prospects, I think that's really an important point to note, because the global megatrends that I mentioned earlier are really centred around growth in populations in key export markets, together with growing wealth in those populations. So we're seeing a boom in middle-class populations, and importantly, that's happening in markets that are very close to Australia. They're right on our doorstep. So Indonesia, China, Vietnam, etc., all of these ASEAN countries are going through the same exponential growth in population and wealth. When that happens, you see a lot more people with a lot more disposable income, and their diets begin to change, and they move away from staples, and they move towards high-quality proteins. So for us, having these destinations on our doorstep, enjoying good trade with them, and good free trade agreements that our government has established, really sets us up as a supplier of choice. So moving forward, we think that the industry is poised for exponential growth. Demand is going to be insatiable, and those investors who get in now to participate in our supply response should be well rewarded into the future.
Great. Well, thank you, Tom. And Mark, to you, could you explain the difference between Australia's northern beef industry and the southern beef enterprises?
Yeah, thanks, Michelle. It's a good question, particularly for those that perhaps aren't familiar with the Australian beef industry. The northern beef industry sits in a subtropical and tropical zone of Australia, where it receives predominantly summer rainfall, or the wet season as it's called, and it's counter cyclical to southern temperate markets, so it works quite well in a portfolio sense for climatic diversity and geographic diversity. But I think perhaps what the GIA listeners would be interested in also is that the northern beef industry represents opportunities to invest at vastly more substantial scale in transactions than southern beef industries typically would be offering. The assets that we are taking to market on behalf of the Hancock and Kidman organisations are currently carrying about 108,500 head of cattle as of the end of December. Now, that sort of transaction in southern markets is just impossible to replicate. So we've got very substantial scale that allow an investment to be made with an established management team and a sufficient size to establish an Australian management presence as well for new entrants. The other aspect I think that's really important to understand between the north and south is the north's undergoing a bit of a development boom where the combination of water availability, rainfall, identification of suitable soils for cropping is allowing new enterprises to be developed, such as cotton, horticulture, fodder production. Now, the importance of that for this transaction is that those crops provide higher protein fodder sources that allow the cattle produced on the farm, on the property, to be intensively fed to increase their weight and make them suitable for a wider range of markets. That the markets that traditionally are serviced by the northern beef industry are the live export trade into Southeast Asia, which is a very successful trade providing high quality protein to substantial and growing populations in Southeast Asia, but it also allows cattle to be transitioned through to southern, more temperate type areas for domestic processing to be exported or consumed domestically, but predominantly exported, as Tom said, as high quality finished beef products. So the northern industry offers scale in an area that's undergoing, you know, sort of considerable development and creating a whole range of new opportunities.
Great. And moving on a bit, news was just released to confirm a November 2020 announcement that one of your clients, Hancock Prospecting, was going to undertake a bit of housekeeping and divest as many as 6 cattle stations in the Northern Territory and Western Australia. Could you please provide a little more about this offering, such as, for Tom, what are the key markets currently being supplied by the portfolio?
Sure, yeah. So just to clarify where the assets are, the portfolio consists of 7 stations and a strategic feeding export depot and cropping enterprise located in Katherine, which is a key agri hub for Australia. The whole portfolio comprises just under 1.9 million hectares of properties across northern Australia, and that extends from the Western Kimberley, which is on the west coast of Australia, located near a key export port called Broome, right through the middle of Australia and up into central northern Australia in Katherine, which is located south of Darwin, which is another strategic export facility. So the portfolio, as you can probably tell from that description, is very strategically assembled, with all of those properties working together and able to export in cattle through live export facilities both in the west and the north, together with other live export facilities that are probably considered secondary but are available. The other really nice thing about this portfolio is that it's able to turn off cattle into alternative markets, which it gives great end customer diversification. We see cattle moving out of this portfolio into southern processing capacity. It can be moved into the eastern states in order to for cattle to be finished on grass in higher rainfall areas outside the wet season in the north. So there's a lot of different avenues for the cattle to be turned off, which creates great diversification, a lot of options for the owner, and it can turn off up to about 47,000 head of cattle every single year.
Excellent. And so the key markets that are currently being supplied by the portfolio
I think Mark probably touched on this earlier, but really the live export markets are the key markets. In Australia, that has traditionally meant Indonesia, which has very well established trade routes and accounts for just over 50% of our live export trade. The Australian government regulates the trade. Only licensed exporters are able to participate. So typically producers like Hancock will supply their cattle through to licensed exporters, and those exporters will move the cattle into the key export markets. Vietnam has been rapidly growing, and that market is maturing and accounts for probably 20% of our live export trade as well. I think we'll see other markets enter this space as populations grow, as trade routes are established, and as we see, you know, ever-increasing demand for the product.
Excellent. And then, Mark, could you tell us more about the development opportunities to improve the performance even further?
Yeah, sure, Michelle. Look, these properties have had considerable amount of capital invested in them under the current ownership that have brought them up to a very significant level of productivity. There's also been a lot of work done to improve the age profile of the breeder herd. So it's a predominantly younger cow sort of age profile, which is really important for fertility and early growth of the calves as they're coming off. There are also substantial increased numbers of water points that we'll put in under the current ownership, which can be extended further to increase the grazing capacity of the farms. The farms have had a telecommunication system put in place that is state-of-the-art, that allows a lot more information to be gathered at the point of processing for the animals as they come through the yards and things like that. So I think generation of information and the use of that information to improve herd performance and get the most out of genetics is really exciting part of the what's being offered on these properties. As Tom said, the integration of Phoenix Park or the Phoenix Farm feedlot and the development of the cropping and intensive horticulture industries in the north provide the opportunities for cattle to be taken to heavier weights and fed more intensively on the property, and for different crop types to be explored for production on Phoenix Farm. So the properties also have a very experienced management team in place that operate the properties to a high standard. But with a few taking advantage of the telecommunication systems, the operations of Phoenix Farm, the development of the north, these properties could achieve even higher rates of productivity and returns than they currently are at the moment.
And what of those are related, if any, to the ESG opportunities for the assets?
Yeah, sure. Well, that's a whole another area of potential for these assets as well, particularly around emissions reduction and carbon sequestration. The Australian beef industry is investing a lot of money in research and development to reduce emissions from livestock. And with such a large-scale operation such as this, even small changes to per-animal emissions can be very substantial in total. And, with roughly 1.9 million hectares, or in your terms, 4.6 million hectares of land in reasonably high rainfall areas, the opportunities to explore carbon sequestration are quite high.
How about the attractiveness to international investors for this property or this asset portfolio?
Yeah, look, the assets, as I said before, a couple of key attributes that international investors would find attractive. First of all, it's at scale. So there's an opportunity to deploy a large amount of capital in one transaction, and get exposure to that protein complex that Tom was alluding to earlier. So it is a substantial scaled investment in a market with underpinned by extremely strong fundamentals. It's got it's a going concern in that it is has got a substantial herd and management team in place that will produce returns, you know, effectively from day one. So there's no sort of J curve in this, and there's some further opportunities to leverage off the capital that's been deployed on these farms and the improvements that's been made to improve productivity even further. So I think that presents a pretty compelling case for international investors looking for opportunities in agriculture.
Absolutely. And regarding that, do you anticipate any pushback from Australia's Foreign Investment Review Board if the portfolio is bought by an overseas investor?
Look, Australia has a pretty accommodating attitude to foreign investment. There's a very strong recognition of the need for foreign capital to support the growth of the domestic Australian agriculture. And look, you know, obviously domestic capital plays a very important part of that as well. But foreign capital has always been and will continue to be an important part of the growth of Australian agriculture and agribusiness. We have a process of review of inbound capital that creates a level of comfort for the Australian community that the capital that is coming in is genuinely in the national interest, and that process is well known and transparent, and it is accommodating. And we are in discussions with the regulators around that and keeping them well informed of the process.
I think, Mark, probably the other comment to make there is, you know, in terms of features of this portfolio for the global investment market, Australia really is, in terms of sovereign risk, a very attractive place to invest. Our laws around land tenure provide people with a lot of security in terms of the capital invested. And as Mark said, you know, the Foreign Investment Review Board process is highly transparent, is efficient, and provides people certainty within a really short period of time.
Excellent. And then in relation to buyers being interested and relative to showing the properties, how are you managing restrictions on travel due to COVID-19?
Yeah, sure. I might answer that one, Mark. I think first of all, for those people who aren't in Australia and aren't familiar with our current quarantine system, it is difficult for foreigners to enter the country at the moment. Accordingly, we have established a sale process that will allow people to effectively undertake a virtual due diligence and virtual inspection of these properties. So effectively, that means it'll be data overload, imagery overload. So people are able to step into a virtual data room, look at our very detailed information memorandum, and really start to understand and see the quality of these properties on a desktop basis. In addition, we have a network of over 400 branches throughout Australia, and we touch pretty much every part of agriculture in Australia as a broader business at Elders. We have many, many trusted advisors, both within and outside of our network, who are available to be engaged by foreign investors to allow them to conduct due diligence and take advice on these assets. And we're more than happy to make introductions to any investors who are seeking to find good quality local advisors who can assist them through the process.
Great. I am sure that will be very helpful for potential buyers.
Absolutely.
So the individual stations do occupy 1,876,000 hectares and include approximately 108,500 head of cattle. Will bids be accepted for single parcels, or is it just for the entire portfolio? And I think Tom was maybe trying to address.
Yeah, absolutely. Thank you. And I think we're going to take a very, very flexible approach to that. It's a really good question because obviously some investors will be looking for scale and wanting to deploy a large amount of capital. Other particularly probably local investors who have neighbouring assets will be particularly keen on buying single assets. And then there'll be a whole lot of people who fall somewhere in the middle. We are taking a very flexible process. We're allowing people to bid on all or part of the portfolio. And our expectation is that's exactly what will happen. We'll see people bidding for the whole strategic portfolio and others who will buy a single station if they're given the opportunity to do so.
Excellent. And how and when will this process get underway?
So we've really undertaken a soft launch this week just to let everyone know that this is coming to market officially. We will be conducting the expression of interest process in a two-stage manner. So we'll be asking people to put expressions of interest in on the desktop basis, as I've just described, by the 23rd of April. And then what we will do is we'll shortlist a number of more favourable offers and parties who are probably demonstrating an ability to transact shortly thereafter. And we'll be providing those buyers with even more access to due diligence materials and also an ability to go and inspect the properties. And in the northern market, wet season tends to end around the end of April, so that will be nice because the properties are far more accessible at that time of the year.
Excellent. And do you have a vision or foresee who might be likely to bid on the offering?
Oh, look, I think there will be bidders from all walks of life. So there will be a number of bidders clearly who are existing operators in the Northern Australian cattle production industry, and they will be a mixture of corporate enterprises, large family enterprises, and high net worth individuals. I think we will also see interest, given the scale and all the features that Mark described earlier. You know, this is an asset that will be of strong interest to I guess more passive capital that wants to have an exposure to these agricultural assets and also this burgeoning soft commodity boom and the story of Northern Australia. You know, that, particularly given that we can deliver this asset with an existing highly professional management team, you know, that kind of capital will also be very interested in the asset. And then there'll probably be those parties who are looking for vertical integration opportunities or security of supply. So, for example, large feedlot operators in key export markets may look to acquire downstream so that they can secure their own cattle production facilities to turn off cattle into their own supply chain. There could be meat processors, you know, large owners of abattoirs or processing facilities who will also be keen on securing supply. So we anticipate a level of interest from those types of buyers as well.
Yeah, I think I'd just add to that, Tom, that the scale of these assets also facilitate an Australian strategy that may be being contemplated by international investors, but they haven't actually executed yet. So it's a very substantial capital deployment with an existing management team, and able to support a local management team that may be established to seek further opportunities in Australia as well. I mean, just reflecting on what Tom said before, the northern industry is in Australia is undergoing a substantial period of development in a very low sovereign risk jurisdiction, and those sorts of opportunities are pretty rare around the world, I think, at the moment.
Great. And do you, I think there was a website that available for people who wanted more information about the portfolio offerings. Was there a URL for that?
Yeah, we will shortly be launching a portfolio-specific website. The website address is www.ausportfolio.com.au, which is A-U-S, cattleportfolio.com.au. And really the website ties into what I was mentioning earlier about our information-rich approach to this to assist people to undertake a virtual due diligence. There'll be extensive galleries and lots of information on that site. We expect it to launch in the coming week.
Okay. And so I just to confirm, so the period for bidding and reviewing runs from when to when?
So effectively, first stage expressions of interest will be due on the 23rd of April, and then we'll enter the second stage process thereafter.
Great. Okay. That is the questions I have for you both, but is there anything else you would like to add for our Global Ag Investing subscribers?
No, I think we've covered it quite extensively. I mean, just to recap, you know, this is an extraordinary opportunity. It's not an opportunity that comes around very often, both in terms of scale, corporate grade quality, extensive capital works that have been completed, ESG opportunities, you know, a carbon market in Northern Australian cattle emissions that our chief science office here in Australia, the CSIRO, is estimating could be worth, you know, up to $240 million a year. It ticks a lot of boxes. The other key thing is it has a herd of 108,500 head of cattle, which simply cannot be replicated, particularly in a market where there is supply constraints for breeder cattle.
Well, I think this is an amazing opportunity, and I do hope that you get many bids that are exactly what you want. And thank you for joining us today with Global Ag Investing.
It's always a pleasure. Thank you for your time.
Thank you, Michelle. Appreciate your time.